to stand and sing that song and know that you have terminal cancer. What a blessing. Folks, we sing it. We sing it, but she's living the words. We need to continue to pray for Christine and Joe, and God will show himself strong and he'd decide to heal her. If not, as I always tell her, that I love her and God will provide the grace that's needed. But thank you, sister. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn together to the book of Isaiah. You'll forgive me. Now my eyes are worse than they were. We spent the day Saturday in Dewey, Arizona, and Mortimer Farm. And my allergies is going haywire after spending several hours on the farm there with the grandkids. And they've got rides and little things, but it's all pulleys and ropes. It's not the mechanical stuff. And the kids had a wonderful time. And then my allergies is just whipping up on me, started this morning. And Miss Margo says, it's not your allergies. You just preached hard and loud this morning. But the combination of that and that farm has got my allergies and my throat. So you bear with me that I can even finish tonight. I'm feeling my throat to begin to go. Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah 55. We'll begin reading in verse number 7 through 13. Verse 7 through 13. And you bear with me this evening. Isaiah 55 and verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper it in the thing thereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of a briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be the Lord for a name, for in an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I want to ask Brother Leonard if he would please lift your voice and pray and ask God's blessings upon the reading of his word and our study tonight. Brother Leonard. Amen. We'll continue tonight with our thoughts on honor when God's word is not weightless. When God's word is not weightless. 3 weeks ago we looked at when God's word is weightless. And last week we said God's word is not weightless. And we had the definitive statement, it influences my life. And when God's word is not weightless, it will influence our life. And we read a quote from A.W. Tozer, with the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Surely we are the most favored of all creatures. Amen? And it's wonderful to know that God's provision is for us. What happens when we put God's word in the place of honor? Last week we said we forsake our own reasoning. When we put God's word in a place of honor, we forsake our own thoughts and our own reasoning. We looked at that last week. And tonight we'll look at a couple of things tonight, maybe two. Number two tonight through our outline, when we put God's word in a place of honor, we allow the word to determine our thoughts and actions. We allow the word to determine our thoughts and actions. Folks, the bottom line is what goes in the ear gate, what goes in the eye gate may very well come out the mouth eventually. So it's so important that we allow God to have that influence in our life. Not only do we forsake our own reasoning, we allow the word of God to determine our way. Here we live in such a time today that they sell cars today with the GPS and all that stuff. We don't need it. We have them on our phones. And we've got so dependent upon it of using the phone, using those GPSs, that I'm finding real quick, I need to put that thing down so I can learn my way around Goodyear. I know how to get to Tortesso here to the church. I know how to get to Costco, and I know how to get to the Fry store up here, and I know how to get to most of your homes, but I need to begin to learn my way around. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing with God's word. We'll put ourselves on autopilot. We'll start reading the word of God. We're familiar with the passage, and almost like we just kind of skim over it instead of just digesting, because God may have something different to reveal to us today. We need to make sure God's word is that place of honor. You see, what we used to tell with our girls, and I think I've used it before, stinking thinking produces error in our thoughts and actions. We need to make sure that we're thinking right, speaking right, and responding the right way. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse number 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So in other words, stop living in the land of if only. We ever thought about that? If only. You ever found yourself wondering, well, if only I could, if only I had. We need to stop living in that type of life. And let me share a few things. First of all, some of you may remember the song or the writing of the story of Pastor Pirate's story, I Land. Anybody ever heard that little video, that little tape, I Land, from Ron Hamilton and Pastor Pirate? It's all about me, 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 I. And it is an imaginary, unrealistic, selfish place that leads to ruin. Life is not all about me. Life is not all about us individually, but collectively. So let me give you a few things about giving weight to the Word of God will help us to remove some of the if-onlys in life. Here's some things that the devil may use, and we'll get to a few points. If only my spouse would try to understand me. If only I wasn't created this way. If only my children would respect me. If only my boss would listen to me. Sound familiar? Ever thought or maybe utter some of these things? If only my parents would trust me. Come on, help me out. You ever thought that as a teenager? I did. Am I the only one telling the truth in this room tonight? If only my parents would trust me. My parents didn't trust me. I didn't trust my kids either. If only I had a little more money. If only I could do the things I used to. I do say that on occasion. If only I had more freedom. If only my work situation was better. If only I had gotten that promotion. If only people would treat my children better. If only I had less pain. You see, giving God's word the right away in our life will help our thinking as well as our actions. These are the things the devil will use to rob us or to pull us in the area of giving honor to God and his honor due him in our life each and every day. See, again, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knows about all of the if-onlys. He knows about our situation or what we feel is a lack of. It's easy to say, well, praise God and give testimony and praise. But when things are going well, but when things are going bad, can we still say, Lord, you know what's best. I will trust you. I'm not going to go down the road if only. I'm just going to trust you. What happens when we put God's word in the place of honor? We forsake our own reasoning. We allow the word to determine our thoughts and actions instead of our emotions or reactions. And then number 3, we experience God's mercy and pardon. When we put God's word in a place of honor, we experience God's mercy and pardon. Folks, I don't know about you, the greatest pardon we'll ever experience is that pardon of sin when we trust in Christ. But yet there's still others that God forgives us for. I'm so glad that 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible. It's written for the Christian. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But yet there's so much more. You know, Isaiah here in our text, in 55 and verse 7, the latter part in reference to this, God's mercy and pardon, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And let me throw this in real quick and we need to move on. We need to be willing also to forgive others in the same way Christ forgave us. And I've said it before, but I think we need to be reminded once in a while. I don't need for you to ask me to forgive you. I just need to forgive you if you've offended me because it's the right thing to do. Because it'll just hinder my growth. It'll hinder my relationship. And the old devil will use it every opportunity that he has. See, the word here in our passage abundantly means to multiply. God's desire is to abundantly multiply mercy on his children. Mercy produces more mercy and so on. And as God has been so gracious to pardon us and to show mercy and to show grace, we should also be willing to do it upon others. We forsake our own reasoning when we put God's word in the place of honor. We allow the word to determine our thoughts and actions. We experience God's mercy and pardon when we do these things. And then number four, we acknowledge that God's thoughts and ways above our own. Well, I tell you what, for me, I don't know about everyone else. For the lack of raising of hands, I was a different teenager than you guys were. As a teenager, I have to admit, in this area, I thought I was the smartest person in the world. After all, I was a teenager. I knew everything. All you had to do is ask me. Come on now, haven't we been there when we were teenagers, when we were younger? I find out real quickly, the older I get, the smarter my father is. Yeah, the smarter. And that's why I have no problem gleaning and talking to other men and other believers in our congregation and other pastor friends. Most of my pastor friends are older than I am. But they've got all the answers and the wisdom because they've already made all the mistakes that I have yet to make. I glean it from them. But when we acknowledge that God's thoughts and ways above our own, it will help us. You see, our ways are incompatible. One must be accepted and the other must be rejected. We need to accept his ways. Back in our text of Isaiah 55, notice verse 8 and verse 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So generally speaking, my ways will run contrary to God's ways. They are incompatible. I must accept one to be true and again to reject the other as false. We need to understand that, hey, we're only human. There's no way that we're always going to do everything perfectly. Just because I'm a pastor, just because you've asked the Lord to save you, just because you're faithful to your church, doesn't make you live that you can live above sin. We're all subject to failure. But when we put the Lord in his place and allow him to guide us and to lead us, acknowledge his ways over our ways, they're much better. Again, back to myself. I don't know how many times that after I got married, and after the children came along, that I made a few phone calls to my dad and said, Dad, you were right. And my dad, as gracious as he was, would say, well, which one was it this time? You know, because I learned so much. And I'm realizing, again, the older I get, the smarter my father is. See, trying to mix our thinking and God's thinking is a destructive way of life. It's just, we're not always going to think that way. But if I'm going to be like-minded, I'm going to be more like Christ, I'm going to spend more time in his word. And it works the same way here on earth. Now, I think I may have said this before, but we're getting to that age sometimes we forget. So maybe you forgot because I can't remember if I have. But I can remember growing up as a preteen, wasn't quite to where I knew everything yet, coming home one day, and either I said or did something, and my dad got me by the arm, and he set me down. He said, son, I don't know who you've been hanging out with today, but we will not hear or see that behavior again. What he was getting at was, well, whoever you've been running around with, young man, you better recheck it, because they're rubbing off on you the wrong way. And dear friends, if we're not careful in the same sense, we want to make sure more of the Lord and his word is rubbing off on us than others that we're around. We may have to live in this world, but we don't have to allow the world to live in us. We may have to shop out in the world. We may have to work out in the world. But sometimes it's like we need to come home and wash off the sweat and the grime. Sometimes we might need to find ourselves coming home that we might need to wash off some things from our mind, from the word of God, because where we've been during the day, because they don't line up. James chapter 1 and verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That's why our thinking should line up the best we can with his and not of our own. See, if I honor God by believing his word, then I choose to honor God. I choose to honor God. See, when we get, when we give weight to the word, we honor the one who gave it. We make decisions to honor others. We make decisions to put others first, as we talked a little bit about this morning. We make a decision to put God first. All of you know, those of you visiting, when Tennessee wins, I wear my Tennessee. I'm an avid college football fan. I've got to wear it twice this year. I may not get to wear it again. But as much as I love Tennessee football, Saturday I got to watch the last 4 minutes of the game because I chose to honor my granddaughter and my family and spent the day at Mortetime driving them out there, spending the day with them and coming back. I made a choice to do that because I love my family. I wanted to honor them because they are more important than a ball game. And besides, we live in a day today, I could just easily record it and watch it later. But that won't happen to me because I got to know the score. It ruins, I've got to know. But again, we make choices. Tonight, we have the opportunity to spend a little time together and honor Brother Ed like we did some others with their 80th birthdays. We had earlier this year when other people had birthdays. It's a choice that we make to encourage another brother or sister in Christ. And if we make a choice, and if we make a decision, we're either going to honor God and put him first, or we're not. So let me challenge you. Rhetorical question, and we'll close. Tomorrow morning, we're all going to wake up. Some of us will wake up by an alarm. Some of us will hit a snooze. Some of us will just wake up because our body wakes up. Some of us will wake up two or three or four or five times during the night before we decide to get out of bed. But nonetheless, we're all going to get up in the morning, and we're going to make a choice. We're going to make a choice to get up early enough to spend time with God and his word and honor him before we start our day, or we're not. I'm sorry, say amen or say oh me. That's the bottom line. We're going to make a choice. And when I find myself, when I honor God and I do those things that I should, my day goes better. I'm going to tell on myself again. My daughter is here visiting from Omaha. And the girls are spending some time together today. I don't know where they went to church or if they did tonight, to be honest. But they're spending some time together. And yesterday, I just had one of those days. I wasn't mean, I wasn't grumpy, I wasn't being ugly, but I was being a little impatient. You ever been there? And my daughter looked at me and said, Daddy, did you spend enough time with Jesus this morning? And then she just walked off. And I thought, oh my soul, obviously it is showing that I have not maybe spent enough time, or maybe I just didn't have my second cup of coffee yet, I don't know. But needless to say, when we put God in a place of honor and where he belongs, it helps the rest of the day. It helps us as we honor him. Luke 6, 46 through 49, and we'll be done. I'll just read it here in my notes. I think you may have it in yours. Luke 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man that built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house. He could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Dear friends, if we truly desire to honor God, his word will not be weightless. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. And the rains came down. Remember the song for his kids? Came down and the house stood firm. But the foolish man who built his house upon the sand and the rains came down, what, it washed it away. The best way to start our day, the best way to live our life is to honor God, to put him first in that place of honor. Because choosing to honor God allows the word of God to influence our lives. Isaiah 66, 2. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Notice it again. To this man will I look. He promises to look upon the man, to bless him, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to look upon me on a regular, daily basis. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your goodness, the blessing and joy of service, the blessing and joy of fellowship. And now, Father, I pray that you'd help us as we ponder the thoughts of the series of honoring God. And Lord, help us to always strive to make sure that his word is not weightless, but his word will not be weightless in our life, but it will be a priority, and we'll choose to put him in a place of honor, fresh and anew, each and every day. Now, Father, dismiss us now as we go our way and our rest to start our new work week, a time of fellowship. I pray that you would bless the refreshments and bless the fellowship. Lord, may they all be uplifting and encouraging and honoring of thee. And Father, once again, I want to say thank you for the privilege of being called pastor here at Harvest Baptist Church, the privilege of being here ministering to folks. Father, and I pray that you would bless us as we labor and work together to make a difference in the life of others. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, as always, remember, the Lord loves you and this preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. If you have not already had an opportunity to greet Brother Ed and Miss Faye's family, please do so, and also Brother Clay and Miss Cindy.